they said that, I think, what's spent on Rosh Chodesh, they conclude like Shabbos.
What?
Someone said that, whatever is spent on Shabbos, there's no, the whole tzad of Shabbos, somebody said the same thing as Rosh Chodesh.
The rabbi is in Sukkot now, or
he didn't say.
He's
here, but he didn't say.
He
did. The rabbi ask if Ramelino had said a shir?
Yeah,
he did not give a shir today.
But he's here.
He's here. I don't know the pshat.
He's giving you.
Oh yeah, so I asked him about that.
Yeah.
He said that Shav Shmaisa took about 5 years.
Yeah.
Took about 5 years. So he says he does. He does like a. I don't know. He didn't. He says it's katsu. I mean, he goes through it. He didn't give an exact amount of how much he goes through.
But he's doing the seder.
I don't know. I don't know if he's how he's picking out the sugya.
Okay, Rabbi Tzai, Baruch Hashem. So, last week, first of all, we thank Hashem for this wonderful Matana tonight, right? I mean, that's what we spoke about last week in the Vaz, right? What did we speak about last week? What was on the Ufdin?
Brachos, no, I mean,
Niceties.
Right.
Having
Kavanas. Good morning.
Wait, 1 second. You sure? That's what we spoke about last week?
That was last week, for us at least.
Yeah. Once again? What was it again?
Saying you have to call somebody.
Right. We have to. We're giving the. Using the. What word is it again?
Nicety. He said nicety.
There's another word for it. The salutations.
Right.
Social, regular salutations that are said as a social order, as the conventional salutations that are given to have kavana in them. The bracha shabbat. And then you turn the salutation into a nuclear explosion of a bracha, right? Say these words anyway, good morning. This is also a nice salutation. It's also something nice, very wonderful, terrific. But when you have kavana bracha, so it's like magic. It's like you turn, you know, something one-dimensional, or two-dimensional, into a three, a ten-dimensional nuclear explosion of a bracha. Right? It's like something awesome. Okay, everybody said that was up last week. I'm just giving some thought for a moment. Okay, Rabbi Tzai. What I wanted to suggest that we work on tonight, Rabbi Tzai, I'm sure our veterans here have worked on it. Right. It's some deed. I just want to make sure we're right. Just before we go on further, just very, very briefly, Rabbi Shai, what about the last week, you know, glorification of the salutation? So what do you say with both? What's interesting is that some of the Ubdas take time, sometimes it could take money, which usually doesn't, but it could take money. This Ubda doesn't take any time whatsoever, right? It doesn't take any money, of course. And giving something to somebody, giving something concrete, real, you're giving it something real, concrete, I would say, without costing any money, and the person doesn't even know that you're giving it to them, right? Because you're saying good morning, and when you have kavanah, so you're really giving the person a bracha that really he should have a good morning. You know, it's some like really murder. It's a wonderful feeling knowing that you're giving something, and it doesn't even cost you any time. And the person is being the recipient of something marvelous to be giving him, and he doesn't even know about it. What do you have to say? What do you say, Rav Moshe?
It was very powerful. I agree with Baruch, and I found myself going out of my way to try to. You know, good morning to people. It was very interesting how that.
Right, Hashem. You're saying like you're giving out brachas already. So might as well, you know, do it wholesale, right? What about you, Yaakov?
I know it's hard to keep this three times a day, but whatever it happened, to try to. I didn't keep it three times a day, but whatever it happened, I tried to put some emphasis in it. I did find like once or twice that I felt really that, you know, there's a koyach here, that there's a power here that just not, we have a power to give over brachas to people. Not just saying brachas, but to have a power to it. So it felt good once or twice, I felt like God really felt the...
Hashem. Okay, what I wanted to, is this on? What I wanted to do with you tonight, which I, we know that our Yiddishkeit, our whole Judaism, our whole religion is really based on the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We speak here, you know, about gratitude, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the truth is that if a person understands this properly, appreciates it, so really the whole year we should really be, you know, into the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Because that's what our Yiddishkeit is based on. So, I mean, if you think that I'm exaggerating, Rabbi Dolinsky, you know, you can say, you know, what you want to say, but don't exaggerate it too much. But basically, I can show you that openly it's not exaggeration that we have a mitzvah deraisa twice a day to be maski the Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? By Krishna, we say, "Vayom Hashem, Hashanir Hashem Elokechem, Hashotzei Yitzchem Eretz Mitzrayim." Now, that's a mitzvah deraisa to be maski Yetzias Mitzrayim. In the morning, right? We say, you know, in Krishna, in nighttime. Now, that mitzvah, very often the Olam forgets what exactly that mitzvah is. It means that, it's not just to say, you know, Hashotzei Yitzchem. It means that you have to be master of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. It means that you have to think about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was really, in essence, the Esem Makis. Right? It was how Hashem took us out. Not just the fact that we went out. We walked out. We have to think about the Yetzias Mitzrayim, meaning how He took us out. How did He take us out? Through the Esem Makis. So the truth is that twice a day, we should really... like be connected with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, with the Yetzias Makis. I only remember that I think last year I mentioned this thing earlier, that the Miller, my Rebbe, he said over a very nice pshat in the Haggadah, Rebbe Yehuda Hoyonesein Bo Simen, you know, the makas desachet hashbacha. So all the Mepharshim attempt to make some kind of an explanation. What does that really mean? You know, that he gave this siman. What did he want to accomplish with it? So they, all the things, Abhi Kabbalah, Abhi Zohar, Abhi this. How come he shared these things together and he didn't do it other ways? So Rabbi Miller explained, which to me was the most palatable explanation, that he was saying that Yetziat Mitzrayim is so important that you should make up a code to keep it with you all the time. As Rabbi Yehuda was saying, the Tzachat Ashbachav is telling you, I made a code now. The Tzachat Ashbachav, why? To keep it with you all the time. The Esamakis, it should be on your conscience. Just think about it. How do you remember it? By making a siman. You make a code. Okay, like you make a joke, you go over to a yid, you say, what are the esamakis? Can you tell me what they are? So he says, well, it shouldn't be too hard. Let's see, start off with dam, that's easy, we start off with dam. He says, what's the next one? And there he's standing there for 20 minutes thinking about, what's the next one? Oh, it must be oroi, the next one. No. Let me guess again. Till he finally comes to Saradeya, takes him like 20 minutes. And then, by the time he's finished all Esa Markets, it could be a half an hour or an hour or something, So, with Yehuda, in that same siman, that if you want to keep it with you all the time, that it's on your conscience, it's on your head, so you should give it a siman to be able to keep it with you all the time, right? So that's the way he explained, Rebbe Huda. That was the reason why the Yonasim Siman to teach us that you should keep it with you, right? So that's all year, Rabbi Zai. So what I want to bring out is now that we have it in our parshas, the Sedrus, it's an opportunity to rejuvenate. Something that we should really keep with us all the time, because the Pashas are sure that they, this is what they deal with, the Esamakis. So we should take advantage of the Pashas HaShavua to inspire us and motivate us, to keep it with us all the time. So you have the Esa Makis, Rabbi Zai. Our work that should have significance to us is to sit down and think about each Makis, what it really was, picture it, to think of the Mudim that you learn out from it. Like, one example we might have spoken about before, like let's say the dam turned to the water turned to dam, right? So I think there's one marvelous lesson there. Like the whole point of everything is to learn that Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is the master of the world. He controls everything, he makes everything. So what life, where's your life at? Where's the life at, everybody say? It's in the dam, right? The dam is the life-giving, right? According to the Torah, Nefesh Hu Adam. The life-giving source is in the blood, right? Now, where do you get the blood from? From the water that we drink, that turns into blood. Of course, it goes through metamorphosis of steps, but the source of everything really is water, right? So, and that water converts eventually into blood. So, who converts it? Who does that conversion of the water into blood? It's Hashem that does it. I don't know if the scientists are capable, of converting the water chemically into blood. I don't know if they know even all they can emulate scientifically, chemistry, all the steps that has to go through until water can become blood. So who does it? Hashem does it. So the Mitzrayim said, who is Hashem? Who is this God? Who is Hashem? So Hashem says, I'll tell you who I am. I'm the one that converts your water into your blood. Now watch. Here it goes. You see? there's the water from the Nilus, and now it became blood, right? Who am I? I'm the one that I'm the converter. I'm Rabbi Converter, Hashem says. I'm the one that converts your water into blood. Now what? See, here it goes. Here's the water from the Nilus, and now it became blood. So now you know who I am. I'm the one that gives you your life. I'm the converter. I'm the one that makes your blood from the water. So, I mean, it's an interesting perspective of a chizuk that Hashem gave with makas dam. You know, just interesting. And each makah you could find something interesting. They also are thinking just an interesting spin, whether it's true, not true. It's just a way of looking at things that maybe it is emet, Rabbi Zayi. But the frog, by the way, it's not so clear. It's not 100% so clear if Sabadeya mean really frog. There are some sheetahs that hold it means other things. But anyway, we'll go now with the Mahalas that Svardera really means frog. So it's a very interesting way of looking at the makkah. Frogs are probably one of the most harmless creatures there are in the world, right? I think there are some species that might be poisonous. But most of the frogs, they don't bite. Strangle people like a constricted snake. They're just cute little things there. Mr. Froggy, hop along Cassidy, hop along Froggy, Mr. Frog, little comical character, hopping along, jumping along, croaking, it's just a comical, type character, cute and comical. Burping and making silly noises, it's like a comic, thing there. The most harmless creature probably on earth, right? I think you see from Sukkim and the Chumash, it seems somehow or other that the surim, the tsar that they had from the Matis Sephardea seems to have been very, very intensive. You see from the warning before and Bishas Maisa and after, it says that Moshe Ben Bayater Hashem, that means tremendous intensive tefillah Bayater. Where do you find that Russian that Yitzhak Avinu and Rivka Menu that went on to a high level of tefillah, to pray to Hashem they should have children? First they stammered as follows. Then they Vayater, they went into a new class, a new realm of tefillah called Vayater. Intensive tefillah. And that's what it says by Moshe Benu. He was Vayater Hashem to take off the frogs. Like it sounds like absurd, Like that high level tefillah that the only place to find it on was by Yitzhak and Rivka. That's what Moshe Benu has to do. Hashem to take off the frogs, So there is something going on with the frogs that something special, I believe. I think that's clear. What that is, I don't know. But I wanted eventually to say maybe one sfora, what went on there was that Hashem made that they caused a lot of discomfort, the frogs. They drove people crazy, to put it mildly. They made a tremendous atmosphere, sir. And the point was that Hashem was showing, I'm going to show you that I'm control over the world. I'm going to take this creature, which is the most harmless creature there is, and it's going to cause you, it's going to drive you crazy, to make you batty. It's going to bring yourself to sour and you sue him, that you're going to go out of your mind from it. What's the point of it? That Hashem Hu Elokim, that I'm the master of the universe, and I can do anything. I can even take the most silliest, simplest, harmless, innocent little creature, and it's going to be a source of tremendous mental anguish and atmosphere. So I'm telling you about this, my own original thought, and just something, interesting. I'm just giving you a sample of what you should do this week, that every day take another maka and think into it like I'm doing it now, right? Try to visualize it and try to think of some kiddush, something that Hashem is using this particular creature to teach something, teach a lesson, right? Everybody say? So that's one of the every night, every day, try to take one of the makif and think into it. You can look up Midrashim, Chazal if you want, you know, look up, do some research if you want to, with some Midrashim, Chazal. But the main thing is to use your own mind, try to think like I'm doing with you now, Chadeya, right? Try to think of each market, some additional thoughts that can come up, and I mean, this also you can look a little bit into the version, like you see that try to use your imagination and whatever is available to you, sources of Midrashim, to try to use that opportunity, you know, to see Midrashim. A second thing I wanted to share with you, Rabbi Sai, take a little bit more of a drink here, Rabbi Sai. The second Udda, I wanted to share with you, very important that twice a day when you're masked, it's yes, Mitzrayim, like we mentioned. So, like I explained to you, it's not just the word, it's yes, Mitzrayim, Yud, Tzadik, Yud, Aleph. It means the going out, which means how Hashem took us out, which means through the Esamachim. So, twice a day, when you're kind of Mitzvah Deraisa, of the Chiyat Mitzrayim, try to quickly, as he's saying those words, try to go quickly through the Esam Makis and to visualize them as much as you could. Just to give you an example, I mean, last year I had a code, I think, that I shared with you. It's no time tonight to give it, maybe next week, but all live and be well, I'll give you that special code, how it's anchored down. But I'll give you another example of how to do it. While you're saying, I need a Shem Rakeshem, so you visualize Dam, right? You have to figure it out. Now, that's blood. The blood turned into frogs, right? Right? The blood, you know, turned from, you know, blood into a frog. And the frogs turned into kinim, that they shrunk, and became, you know, little kinim. And then the kinim, you hear Moshe said, the kinim, they, like, exploded and became animals. Little tiny kinim. One became an elephant, one became an alligator, one became a cobra snake, one became a scorpion, right? The little kinim exploded into oros, right? And then the orob died, that's Dever. All the animals died, that's Dever. That was a plague that killed, right? Then after the animals died, so then people got boils, so, from the dead animals, right? That's Shin. Then they came down, Borah, with fire on it, came pulling down on the people with their Shin, fell out to the earth and on the people, smashing into the Shin, the boils and the blisters they had, you know, Borah came falling down, right? And then the Borah, Yerem Moshe, was converted into, it turned into the Arba, you know, into the
locust.
Right. Locust. By the way, they weren't little, simple little, you know, grasshoppers, little grasshoppies, as everybody say, little dancing around, you know, what do they call it? Jam, you know, a little grasshopper. They were locusts, they were vicious beasts. These locusts, I once read about a certain species of locusts, that probably that's what this is. Every once in a while they become vicious, and they can eat animals and humans, and they eat through roots. They travel thousands and thousands of them together, and they can do awesome, tremendous. They can eat out of a building. You know, that's how vicious they are. Vicious beasts. That's what these rabbi locusts were, you know. So anyway, the boras turned it into arbet, and the arbet, there's so many of them that it became like a kosher. It says in the pasuk, right? It says that the that became dark from the locust, right? So that's not only my Torah. It says in the Chumash, and then the dark was converted into death, Rabbi Say, right? It was because the Makas Bechoris, first of all, darkness itself is like Nisa, but the second part of Kosher. The second part of it was really, paralysis. That they were, they couldn't move. It was dark, complete darkness, and couldn't move. So that's mamish, really the next step of it's almost like death, right? You're paralyzed and it's dark. So that led unto, right? So, if you want to make a consistency of a picture, so, right, you have the material there to make it into, right? Time it is, but I think it's time that we have to go. Okay. Up to the Maisa. Every day, take one of the markets and be going into it. Look at Chazal. And twice a day, in the Kayim the Mitzvah, the Chesh Shayim, try to go quickly through the Esa markets. Right? And try to visualize them, try to picture them. Okay, Rabbi Say. To have bracha v'atzlacha, all of you, to have brios and parnasa and machas, shalom bayis, Rabbi Say, together with your wives and children, and simcha sachayim, amitiyim, and shibizaycha b'korav, to see b'yas m'shiach v'keno, Rabbi Say.
Amen.
Okay, Rabbi Say, good. A good, wonderful to be back with you tonight. Yashikov, Yaakov, we are.